Let me read this from chapter 13 if you want to flip over there a little bit. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, so this is before the Passover, that he should depart out of the world to his Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil now putting into the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and he went to God, his rising from supper. So what he's talking about, this is the Passover meal that Jesus is having with his disciples before the actual feast of the Passover begins on Friday night, because Friday night is the beginning of the Passover at 6 p.m., the beginning of the feast of that Passover. And so, if you'll remember, at the they were trying to get Jesus off the cross quickly before the sun went down on that night. So this is the meal that Jesus is having with his disciples before that. That's the meal we're portraying at our Passover Seder. All right, is the meal that Jesus had with his disciples. So Jesus rose from supper, verse 4, and laid his garments aside and took a towel and girded himself. He poured water in a bowl, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel. He came to Simon, and he said to him, Lord, do you wash? And Simon said to Jesus, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus said, what I do now you do not understand, but you will know hereafter. And Peter said to him, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I wash not your feet, you have no part in me. And Simon said, not to the Lord, not only my feet also then, but my hands and my heads and my head and my hands. And Jesus said to him, he that is washed does not need to wash except his feet, but is clean every bit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So he washed their feet and had taken up his garments again, and he sat down. And he said, do you know what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so am I. So I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily I say to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, nor he that is sent greater than him that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not all of you, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eats bread with me is lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Truly I say to you that he that receives whomsoever I send receives me, and that he that receives me receives him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly I say to you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked on one another, doubting of whom he spoke. So Jesus is already knowing that he's about to be betrayed. And he's sharing this with his disciples. And I'm not going to finish that portion, but I want to move on to the 14th chapter. And I want you to look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, so Jesus is beginning to now introduce a new part of his ministry. He's loved his disciples. He's taught them to love one another, but now he's going to teach them what is going to take place here after he departs, after he is dead, raised, and ascends. He's going to teach them what it is to live without a physical Jesus among them. You remember, Jesus has been with them for 3.5 years. So he's been, this is what they're ready for. This is what they're used to. If you're reading the book of Matthew, which is written primarily to the Jews about the gospel, there is so much in there about the disciples looking for Jesus to come and take over and to become the king of not only Israel, but the world. You know, when are you going to come in your kingdom? And Jesus wasn't quite ready for that. What's more is, you weren't quite ready for that. They weren't quite ready for that. Because Jesus' kingdom is not about just making Israel on top of the heap. It's not just about making his people over all the other people. Well, what is Jesus' ministry? Is if you'll remember the covenant that Abraham had with God himself was that I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And in you shall all the kingdoms of the earth be blessed. So in Abraham, not the Jews, but all the kingdoms of the world are going to be blessed. That was the purpose of the covenant that God was making with Abraham, was to bless the entire world. The covenant that he made with Noah, was his desire was to save the entire world. He destroyed the entire world, saved out, the best. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad he saved out the best? You guys are the children of Noah. Cool. Not only that, but then he had to send his own son to die. So apparently Noah's crowd wasn't any more of a great righteous crowd than anybody else. So what's happening is that God now is going to fulfill his promise to Abraham. He's going to fulfill his promise to Abraham by causing all sin to be, the power of sin to be destroyed, and he's going to cause his spirit to come and dwell in all men who will receive that sacrifice. And this is what he's going to begin to talk about. And this is a transformation. This is like, what are you talking about? Jesus is here, and he's, we're depending on him. We're depending on Jesus to bring this thing to fruition. We're depending upon him to make this thing happen. Wow, it's good. We finally got a leader. Finally got somebody who's really got a hold of the gospel and got a hold of the thing so that we can be led into the promised land, right? Aren't y'all looking for that? I mean, isn't that why Obama got elected? Somebody's going to lead us into the promised land. Glory to God. I tell you what, there's only one to lead you, and his name is Jesus. And he gave only one way to lead you, is by the Holy Spirit. He said here, look at verse 15 again. If you love me, keep my commandments. Next sentence. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. He dwells with you, and he shall be in you. If we look back at some of the works that the apostles were sent to do, they were sent out in Luke twice, once with 12, and then with 70. And he gave them power. Jesus gave them power to heal sickness and disease and to cast out devils and to teach the gospel, to teach the good news that God was coming to set the world free. He was showing what the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom is. Now the problem is that nobody can do it. The gospel, as Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount, is impossible for men to do. To love one another, to not judge one another. You know, as Chad was talking about, we'd rather kill one another as love one another. But God said, here's the gospel of the kingdom. And what Jesus was doing, and what made the Pharisees all upset, was the fact that they thought they had a pretty good thing going. At least people were more or less behaving themselves. But what's happening is that Jesus said, well, whether or not you kill someone or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is if you just hate someone, you've already broken the commandment. Well, that's going to mess up your deal, because if you've got people who think at least they're keeping the commandments and doing a good job, if there's no hope for it, what happens? If there's no hope, people just have no hope and they just give up. See, what are you going to have? You're just going to have anarchy. Well, I guess I might as well kill them because I hate them. But what Jesus is saying is, you are not righteous before God. You're not righteous before God just because outwardly you have kept the law. In fact, inwardly, you are unrighteous. And you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so the only thing what Jesus is telling them now is that there is no hope. You remember how we told you to keep the law? The law is worthless. Paul says later, there is no hope of entering the kingdom of heaven. No one was ever justified by the works of the law. No one was ever justified by the works of the law. Absolutely, positively, no one. You're not justified by the works of the law. By faith, you put hope in a sacrifice, but that sacrifice did not wipe out your sins. It just put them off for another year. But this blood of this lamb, whom they didn't understand yet, the blood of the lamb, the Son of God, will wipe out your sin forever. Will wipe out your sin forever. And then, because you are now worthy, having put faith in the sacrifice of Jesus, faith in the sacrifice of the Son of God, now His Spirit, because you are pure through faith, you are pure through faith alone. Man, praise God. I'm pure through faith alone. Pure through faith alone, now the Holy Spirit, God can come and live and dwell in me. He can come and live and dwell in you. And He doesn't have to do that just in your mom and your dad. Maybe you're 14, 13. Jesus can come and dwell in you. He'll come and live in you by the Holy Spirit. Maybe you messed up and maybe you're, you know, past your prime. And maybe you feel like your evil deeds are outweigh your good deeds and there's no way to catch up. Anybody felt like that? Some of you feel that way about your retirement account. Amen? Because there was no way to catch up. You know what? Faith in Jesus catches everything up. Amen? You know what? Maybe you've been a Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian, but you've been bound by doing good deeds because you thought that's what you needed to do to help out. Jesus is not into good deeds. He's into His own good deeds. Amen? So what I'm saying to you is you don't catch up by doing your own good deeds. Let's see here. I guess you kind of work out a list and work out a plan and see how many good deeds you can pull off today. You know, that's been one of the greatest lies of the Christian church, is that doing good deeds out of your own guts and out of your own strength and out of your own power is what impresses God and pleases God. It's not. What pleases God is faith. What pleases God is for you to spend time with Him, to come into His presence and allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and do good deeds through you. And it's not the deeds, it's just fruit. Deeds don't add up to anything. Amen? Hello? I said deeds don't add up to anything. It's worthless. Good deeds are worthless for trying to pay God off or trying to make something happen or trying to make yourself look good or add up. Trying to bring yourself to a better position in the presence of God. Or among men. Well, I'm better, at least I'm better than so and so. You know, at least, you know, I did a few more. I'm at least I'm more conscientious than Sister Sally. I mean, is there anybody named Sally here? Okay. At least I'm more conscientious than this person or that person. Anybody like that? You know? I mean, more conscientious. You know, I'm telling you, I am not conscientious. I'm just not. And if I were to get all upset about that, that'd be awful. You know? Now, my kids may think I'm conscientious, you know. But, it's not about being conscientious. It's just about hearing Jesus. Huh? I said it's just about hearing Jesus. It's not about, you know, keeping a list, having a code, you know, a code of conduct. I got this code that I have that I, you know, and you kind of measure yourself according to your code. A lot of people, they measure themselves according to their code. A lot of people have no code. A lot of people are just, you know, they're just wicked before they meet Jesus. And a lot of times they're wicked after they meet Jesus. But that's just, you know, That's just sin and get forgiven. No, that's not it either. It's not just sin and get forgiven. What Jesus wants you to do is get into his presence and just find out that he loves you. See, those of us who sin forever and just never get, and just want to get forgiven, never come to know God. They're not coming to know Jesus. Okay? They're not coming to know him. What they're doing is getting forgiven and standing about 20, 30 feet away just in case things get bad. Just in case God actually gets mad ultimately. And see, you don't know the love of God. See, what you want to do is you get very, very close. You get very, very close to him. And then and the sins don't matter. And what happens is he begins to transform you and change you. And you actually are changed by coming into his presence. Amen? You're actually changed by coming into his presence. That's what Jesus is talking about right here when he's saying this other comforter is going to come, because they've been living with Jesus. They've been spending time close to Jesus. And these guys have been being changed. But you know what? There's only one Jesus. And there's 12 guys, and one of the guys fell out. You know, but what God wants to do is now send the Holy Spirit to grab a hold of the whole world. He said, when these guys come out and begin to preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit, they just drop him off in Ephesus. They drop him off in a few guys in Ephesus and Philippi and Lystra and Iconium and Derbe. And all of these places, they begin to drop off guys filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's, you know, it's amazing to listen to even secular theologians and courses on how Christianity spread, because Christianity wasn't Muslim. Christianity was not one of the religions that spread by virtue of the sword, even though you can name times that did happen during the big Catholic eras, is that you had people walking around with swords trying to convert people by the sword. But Jesus never, never, never asked you to go and convert by the sword. Never asked you to go do that. And what was happening is Christianity spread in such an incredible, powerful fashion. It's why? And they can't answer. They can't figure it out. They're going to try to come up with some idea, but they cannot figure it out. They cannot figure out how it just began to spread. Why? It's because the Holy Spirit. Because God sent the Holy Spirit, his own Spirit, to indwell every new believer. So, verse 16 there in chapter John 14. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it knows him not, or sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Okay, I want you to skip down a little bit to verse 25, all right? These things have I spoken, yet being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Okay? So the Holy Spirit now is going to teach you. So let's look back. He's going to abide with you forever. He shall be in you. You will not be comfortless. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Okay? So another thing the Holy Spirit is going to do, he's going to bring all things to your remembrance. He's going to teach you. So he's going to teach you. And so in knowing Jesus and knowing the Lord, the Holy Spirit is actually going to teach you. He is going to actually be an indwelling, direct connection to your Father in heaven. And this is not just when you walk into your prayer closet. This is every day, every moment, every hour, is that the Holy Spirit If you are a Christian, if you are one who is a believer in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in you. Amen? He lives and dwells in you. Now, what I'm describing to you is what Jesus is setting up as an entire new worldview for these guys. You no longer just have an outward guy who is talking to you from God. But in fact, you have now, God Himself is indwelling and living with you personally. You don't have to go and have a VIP pass to get into a special meeting once or twice a year. Okay? I hope we can go see God next week. Or I hope we can see God on Resurrection Sunday and Christmas. It's like how some people come to church. You know? No, but every moment, every hour, every time you wake up, open your eyes, boink. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Holy Spirit. You're right there with me. He's right there with you. Meditate upon these things day and night. These are the things that the Father wants you to know and Father wants you to have. And when Jesus begins to talk about over in the Gospels, when He begins to tell them about their Father in heaven, He's describing to them that God is not only God, but God is their Father in heaven. In the Sermon on the Mount, time after time, He says, your Father in heaven loves you. This is who He's describing. And so when He's talking about the Holy Spirit, He's talking about your Father who comes to speak to you. The Holy Spirit's not some wispy ghost who, you know, it's kind of like a surrogate, but it's in fact the Spirit of the Father Himself who lives and dwells in you, and He loves you. I don't know. I get excited every time I read this. I don't know about y'all. I get excited every time I read about this because this is like God coming to live with me. That's who this is. And He loves me. And He is going to speak to me. And He gets rid of my sins. And I don't have to. I don't have to work up a way to get rid of the rats and the mice and the roaches. Amen? Anybody like that? Well, how do you get rid of this stuff? How do you get rid of these parasites and all the stuff that you don't want in your house? They just seem to multiply and to grow and to get worse. Maybe your house isn't as dirty as mine or something. I don't know. I'm talking about this house, you know. God has got to clean this house out. Those guys, they can fit into little nooks and crannies. The enemy loves to just come in and he loves to find little nooks and crannies to stay in. Dark corners to stay in. And he likes to keep a little bit for himself. Amen? He likes to keep a little bit of you for himself. Have you found that to be the case? And what you do is just go in and let God walk His light around. Look at that. And He's not even asking you to clean it out. He just said, hey, come here, look. Ooh. Man. Is that in my house? Well, yeah. You want me to get rid of it? Sure. Get rid of it. Do I have to touch it? You know? No, I'll get rid of it. Do you know that Jesus will get rid of all your sin? I said, do you know Jesus will get rid of your sin? Huh? Aren't you excited about that? I mean, you're not having to see, you know, we could turn around and have a different kind of church. Okay, brothers and sisters, I know that you've got a lot of sin in your life. And it's time that stop. Guess this church has got to look good. I mean, you got good pastors, and the church has got to look good. So you guys are going to have to straighten up. Now, I'm going to be coming by, and I'm going to be checking your refrigerator. And I'm going to be checking your magazine rack. I'm going to check your computer temp file. And I'm going to be parking outside your house and listening to see how y'all yell at one another. So we could have that kind of church. Or we could have the kind of church that we got, which is, you know what? God loves you so much. that if you just get into his presence and begin to worship him and begin to come and say, Jesus, thank you that you love me. And I just put all my hope and my faith in you, and that because I don't know how to get rid of sin. I don't know how to get this sin out of my life. But I know that you do. And I know that you love me. So I'm just going to keep coming into your presence every day. I'm going to keep coming into your in right here where you are in your word. And I know that you love me so much that you're just going to begin to transform me and change me. That's the God that you have. That's the program that we have. Amen? We don't have that other program. Besides that, it's too hard to work on the pastor. You know? All right. So now, let's look at chapter 15, verse 26. But the Comforter, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. So who's the Holy Ghost going to talk about? Jesus. He shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning, and you'll know it's true. Now let's look here at let's go to chapter 16, verse 6. I'm just going to work my way through a few scriptures here. Now verse 6 in chapter 16 says, because I have said these things to you, your sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world. Well, okay, now wait a minute. I'm going to go away, and the Holy Spirit's going to come. And earlier he said he's with you and shall be in you. But here he says, and when he has come, something else he's going to do. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Wow. How's he going to do that? It's because he's going to be in you. It's like those 70 and those 12 that went out preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's going to reprove the world of sin through you. Why? How? Because if you are, as Jesus said back in the Gospels, before this all took place, it says you are the light of the world. He didn't say be the light, it said you are the light. So when the Holy Spirit begins to indwell you, you are the light. You are salt. You are light. You are the difference. You are something different in the world. All right? So you actually are walking with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You are a brand new creation. You remember? Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Do you believe you're a new creation?
Yes.
If you're in Christ, you're a new creation? So you just walk around and say, Father, thank you that I'm a new creation. Thank you that I am the light of the world. Now don't act like, why am I not the light? Quit examining yourself and feeling, man, gosh, there's no light. Okay? Don't look at yourself and wonder why there's no light. Just begin to thank God that you are the light. Thank God that everywhere I go, I deliver light. Everywhere I go, I deliver the gospel. Everywhere I go, people know that I'm weird. Amen? People know I do not belong to this world. People know that I'm something that's transforming them, changing them. They hate me. How many know people hate you when you mess up their thing, when you walk in and you're just weird and they just want to get rid of you? Is that you? Yeah, praise God. It's because you don't belong here. You're not of this world. All right, because they Jesus said it to these guys. He said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Surprise. All right. I keep going here. Okay, so now, he's going to reprove the world of sin. How's he going to do that? He's in you. of sin. Now, what do these things mean? Of sin, because they believe not on me. So he's not going to reprove them of sin because they're sinful. He's going to reprove them of sin for one reason. Why? What is sin? Don't believe on Jesus. That's it. Just believe on Jesus, sin's over. Who can argue with that? Who could be upset with that? Well, religious people. You're not getting your behavior modification crowd in shape, lined up. You know, these behavior modification crowd people, they actually pay good money to have their behavior modified. So the guys who are getting the money, they don't like you to tell them, all you need is Jesus. They don't like that. They like it when they love to be told what to do. Amen? Church people love to be told what to do. Go clean out your closet. You know, don't do that stuff. How about this? Just go spend time with Jesus and let Him transform you. Let Him change you. That's too easy. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not too easy. What it is it's hard. People don't want to do that because people want to decide what they're going to do. We love to hide what we do. We love to arrange our place so that we are comfortable with our Christianity. We are comfortable with what we decide it is to live as a Christian, rather than to just go to God and let Him destroy me. Let Him take me apart in the way He wants to. Amen? God wants to take you apart and put you back together Himself. Well, I don't usually have this happen to me. I don't know if I like this program. Hallelujah. See, He's transforming you and changing you. Amen? How much time do I have? 4 minutes? Oh, praise the Lord. Who said none? Praise the Lord. Is my wife in here? No. All right, praise the Lord. Now this is great here. Okay, of sin, because they believe not on me, on righteousness, because I go to my Father. Why? He's delivering His own blood to the Father. His righteousness, He's saying the job is done. The job is done. And of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. The accuser of the brethren, there's no more accuser. The guy cannot accuse you. Why? Because Jesus has completely paid for all your sin. And one last thing, we'll stop here. Well, it's going to take more time than I thought to get through. Preach on. Praise the Lord. That is a good man. That's a good son of the faith. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of Himself, and He will not speak, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and show it to you. He'll receive of Mine and show it to you. I love this because Jesus says this, is there's a difference between what you are now and what you will be when the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. Is that there are many things I want to share with you, but you couldn't even wrap your brain around it. You couldn't handle it. You couldn't even understand it now. But once the Spirit of truth has come and He's come inside of you, He's going to take of Mine and He's going to show it to you. He'll show you things to come. See, now listen, you've got to have an understanding that Christianity is not about you behaving yourself. And that's what Jesus is preaching all through these several chapters here before He goes to the cross, is He's telling them that there is a new world coming for those of you who have followed Me, and it's not what you thought. It's not Me taking over. What it is Me taking over you. Is the Holy Spirit coming on the inside of you and transforming you, transforming the world, changing you, making you into a brand new creation. The brand new creation starts with faith, but it doesn't end there. The brand new creation starts with faith, and then it begins to transform you from the inside out. You become the light of the world. Can you thank God? Can you thank God? This is awesome. This is so powerful. Because now you are indwelt by the living God, and He's daily, daily, daily transforming you and changing you. You are no longer getting rid of sin. He is actually getting rid of sin the power of sin on the inside of you. So those things you used to do, those things you used to follow after, that they will all of a sudden be things you used to do and used to follow after, but they're no longer ruling you. They're no longer taking over your life. They're no longer preventing you from fulfilling God's word and from God's will. Amen? All right, I'm going to stop there today. All right? Well, God is good. Hallelujah. Hope you're blessed. Read these chapters, John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. 13 through 17. Please read them. Amen? Find out what the Holy Spirit's doing. Hallelujah. All right. God is good. Let's worship the Lord with our giving this morning. Then we're going to have time for prayer and prayer and ministry afterwards. All right, don't forget the meeting with the for the Passover right over here at the end of the service today. Father, we magnify you. We worship you, we praise you, we glorify you. We thank you, Lord God, for your transformation through the Holy Spirit. We give you the praise and thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name. Amen.